Well, welcome to A New Now Radio tonight on BBS Radio. I'm really grateful to be here tonight and honored to have a wonderful guest on my show. Michael White's here with us tonight. You want to say hello, Michael?
Hi, Denise.
And hi to everybody out there. I'm really pleased to have Michael with us tonight. I came across something of his a couple weeks ago, maybe not even that long ago, that he'd written about the paradigm shift, and it caught my eye. And I found it to be just wonderful, and I sent him an email and asked him if he'd be on my show tonight, and so he's here with us. And I'm glad to have you here tonight, Michael.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited to be on one of your first programs.
My second show. So I thought we'd just start a little bit. First thing I wanted to say before I'm going to ask you a little bit about yourself is what really caught my eye about this is the peace campaign that Michael's involved with, the Department of Peace. And I am such a believer in that what we resist persists, and that the thought of peace and being peace and extending that out into the world is one of the answers to what our world faces right now. And so when I saw his beautiful words, they really caught my eye, and I'm just really grateful to have him here tonight. And so, Michael, I wanted to ask you, just tell us a little about yourself and how you got involved in where you are now, and share with us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I live in the Bay Area, California. I've been here for about 2 years now, and I lived in Colorado before, which is where I first became acquainted with the campaign for a cabinet-level U.S. Department of Peace. And for several years before that, I had actually been sort of following the story of the emergence of a new peace consciousness on the planet. Originally, I was very interested in James Twyman's work with the psychic children, and these sort of messages of peace and peace consciousness that just seemed to really resonate.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a much more grounded form of spirituality than a lot of the kind of spiritual circles I had been exploring in years before.
Right.
This is very all-inclusive, practical, new tools of consciousness, new ways of viewing things, and new ways of building peace, starting from within. And I think that's what really resonates with so many of the people that I've met through this campaign from the very beginning. They all seem like such heart-centered people.
Mm.
They seem like people that embody this insight that in order to create peace in the world, we must first start by creating peace from within ourselves, making peace with the world from within.
Right.
And being able to extend an energy, an intention, a thought, a prayer of peace out to the world and to approach conflict from that place.
Mm-hmm.
To recognize peace as a potential that is all around us, that is our ally in bringing conflict to completion through honoring, through serving, through compassionate listening, through changing our languaging,
mm-hmm,
to be less dualistic and more inclusive and more honoring of all sides of an issue. And so those kinds of things are just embodied in the people. And what I witnessed at the Department of Peace Conference in Washington, D.C. Just recently was a lot of people who were really new to this, and yet they didn't sound any different than the people that I've known that have embodied this kind of consciousness for years. So it seems like peace consciousness is really catching on. It's spreading.
Mm.
People are getting it. And everyone seems to have the same insight, the same clarity about it, whether they just stepped into it now or they have been doing this for years.
Mm.
And so years ago, I was kind of following the story of this emerging new peace consciousness. And then I heard Denis Kucinich speak on a news program and talk about wanting to create a Department of Peace and Nonviolence. And I thought, yes, this is the institutional, governmental reflection of the new peace consciousness.
Exactly what you were resonating with and what you probably were desiring and brought into your world, into your now.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. and it's so exciting. I mean, you know, for those of us that have been doing a lot of this inner work and being the presence of peace, knowing peace is our birthright, it's who we are inside, within, and to see it now starting to manifest on the outside, you know, without, is really exciting.
Well, I think part of the reason that this peace consciousness began to emerge is that when we saw these acts of global violence, really witnessing this as a world, you know, what happened with 9/11, we realized what a responsibility we each have to be responsible for the conflict energy that we hold in relationship to the world.
Right.
Because if you don't take responsibility for the conflict within yourself, it can manifest in ways that are very destructive.
And it does manifest because what we are, we put out there.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, exactly right, and it's just, I'm just so excited for you and what you're doing. Tell me a little bit now about the Department of Peace campaign.
Well, the Department of Peace campaign has been going on really actively for the past 4 years. We have a new House bill number for this new legislative session. It's House Bill 808 to establish the U.S. Department of Peace. And a U.S. Department of Peace will work for to research, articulate, and facilitate nonviolent solutions to domestic and international conflict. We'll also provide much-needed assistance to efforts by city, county, and state governments in coordinating existing programs, as well as develop new programs based on best practices nationally. We would teach violence prevention and mediation to America's school children, effectively treat and dismantle gang psychology, rehabilitate the prison population, build peacemaking efforts among conflicting cultures both here and abroad, support our military with complementary approaches to peace building, and create and administer a U.S. Peace Academy, which would act as a sister organization to the U.S. military. We would also have a cabinet-level position that would be a Minister of Peace, just like we have a Secretary of Defense. We would also have a Secretary or Minister of Peace, so that we would always have the voice of peace represented in cabinet-level discussions, and we would have somebody that would be able to put on the table a plan for building peace or nonviolent means of conflict resolution, whatever is needed in the kinds of discussions that, you know, we have a defense minister to be involved with certain types of situations. So we also want to have peace at the table, because even if we do reach a situation where we do have to go into war, we can also have complementary approaches that can aid in the transition from war to peace and help heal communities.
I see.
Even if we do have to have military action, this is not about anti-war, anti-military. It's not about saying that, well, we have to choose peace instead of, because we recognize that there are some instances when we do need the kind of training and expertise and technology that are maintained by our military.
Right.
There are situations where we need that, and what we're talking about is having something that goes hand in hand that utilizes the kind of peace-building, conflict resolution expertise that we have in this nation but are underutilized.
Well, and in truth, once, you know, the consciousness of peace is being brought into these rooms and into these talks, it'll spread, and probably amazing miracles and solutions will come about. And that's what excites me, is to see that, you know, as we all do within ourselves, we bring ourselves wherever we go. And as this consciousness is brought in to whatever forum that you will all be involved in, it will just spread like pebbles in the river, you know.
Drop like wildfire.
Drop the pebble of peace in the river and let it ripple out, and that'll be an amazing thing. So now I would like you to tell us a little bit about the recent conference that you had in D.C. and what went on there.
Well,
I know some exciting things happened.
It was an extraordinary event. We had over 700 people the conference room that we had booked was completely filled. We had people from 49 different states there. There was about 105 people, I believe, that showed up from California.
Wow.
So California was by far the largest delegation.
Yeah, actually, I'm from California, too, like Michael, so yeah. I'll put a little plug in there. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so it was just an amazing conference. The energy was amazing. There was so much peace, empowerment. There was so much hope. Mm. That was what really touched me the most, was the feeling of hope that we seem to share collectively in our hearts for America, for the world, for the generations of the future, every aspect of what would be affected by this legislation. And there's so much. It was just inspiring to be in that environment of hope, because I just think about all the people that watch the news and how little inspiring and hopeful news we see in the mainstream media. And I thought, if only people could see this, to be surrounded by that environment of hope and enlightenment and positivity that's really grounded, and to even be able to talk about a piece of legislation in the context of global unity is really extraordinary. But this conference was by far the most successful, and we're experiencing a level of momentum now behind this campaign that is just beyond where we were at only a year ago. We've come so far. I've actually been involved with the campaign almost since the beginning. This was the fourth annual conference I've been to, the last three including this one. And at the conference before this one, it was the first time that I had the opportunity to lobby Congress. And what I felt was missing was the media. There was very little media coverage at all of the event. It was the most positive and uplifting news that I've ever seen, especially when actually witnessing the programs that have been designed and implemented to reduce violence in schools, in communities, and to hear from some of the speakers that were leading these programs, that had created them or were facilitating them, and to actually see how these things work and to realize that we actually do have solutions for reducing violence in communities, but we don't have the institutional platform, we don't have the level of funding and support that we need to expand these programs. And what we would like to see happen is to see these programs become part of a national strategy. I mean, when you have a workshop that you can bring into a high school or a junior high that reduces the likelihood of children joining gangs by over 90% from a simple afternoon seminar, that's powerful. Because you have to sort of think about the future. Think about what kind of a future we're creating if we could bring those kinds of seminars and programs to all of our school children. There's another one that I really like called Challenge Day. And Challenge Day is an event that takes place in the course of a single school assembly, and it brings together the student body and helps to break down
Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got.
We just lost each other.
I got. Yeah. So we're back. Well, you were still talking though, right?
Yeah. So I was talking about.
Because I couldn't hear you, so we don't know what happened. Okay, I'm back. That's all that matters.
I was talking about Challenge Day, which is one of the programs that is now being used in high schools and junior highs to reduce violence and to bring students together to address violence and conflict and help break down the barriers that mm-hmm. exist between students. And I actually got to see a film that they showed about how one of these programs worked. And in the beginning, you see all of the students, and they are sitting in their little groups, their cliques, afraid to talk to each other. And they start leading them through these exercises and, in a way, sort of forcing them to go and sit with the people that they normally wouldn't sit with and mm-hmm. talk with them and dialogue. And as they lead them through these different exercises, by the end of the day, the students are laughing and crying and hugging, and people that once bullied other students are apologizing to the whole class, and there's forgiveness and there's peace. Mm. And
you got to witness this?
Yeah. Oh. And when you see something like that happen, it speaks to me personally, because I grew up where there was a lot of violence in school. There were fights almost every day at lunch, after school. I had students that made threats to me constantly and to other students. And we were always worried in school about what are we going to do when class is out, because we have to deal with the possibility that somebody is going to want to fight us.
Amazing.
And if you could have a program that actually reduces that possibility extremely and brings people together and creates a safer learning environment in a single afternoon, healing so much of the conflict that was there before and bringing about a resolution to that conflict, it's a whole other type of learning environment, because not only do you create a safer learning environment, but you also open people up with new social skills, mm-hmm. teaching students and children to listen to each other compassionately.
And to see their oneness.
Exactly.
Instead of their separateness, what they have in common.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that is a gift that is, not only is it priceless, but it will go on to create a whole different future for humanity.
Yeah. Which is
when you think about teaching conflict resolution skills and peace building
in
our nation's schools, if we could have the funding and the institutional platform and the ability to utilize the expertise that we have now and to put that in place in our nation's schools right now, we would actually create a whole new future for humanity. Because we would change the way we all relate to each other.
Right. And
we could do that in a single day if we just had the funding to do that.
Amazing.
There are so many experts, people that have received training in the field of conflict resolution and peace building. We have over 300 universities now that actually offer different forms of peace studies, peace journalism, conflict resolution. And there are several universities that now require teachers before they get their teaching certificate to be trained in nonviolent conflict resolution.
Well, I believe I'm not an expert at all on the Indigo children and the Crystal children, but I have read quite a bit about it. Mm-hmm. And I think you're in that Indigo age group, aren't you?
Oh, no.
You're not? You're a little older?
Yeah. I'm way too old for that.
Well, what I'm saying is I know that the children that were born in those years, which are not very far behind you, because I know my son is that age and he's 29, going to be 30. They've come in with that, and that I truly believe it'll be a lot of the people in their kids in their middle 20s, early 30s, that will be really taking this in their hearts and spreading it out all over the world. It's kind of like it was brought in with them. So it's going to be an amazing thing to watch, and I'm really excited to hear about it. And, Michael, what can people do to support this campaign and get involved in any way? What's available? How do they do it? Anything you'd like to get out there for everyone to know?
Well, just kind of as an update, we had over 200 meetings with Senate and House representatives mm-hmm. in Congress. And we informed them about the bill and the status of the campaign, all of the momentum that we're building, and the real need that we have for this legislation. And what we need right now from the public is to help us follow up with this, because we actually went there on behalf of the citizens of our own states, of our own communities, to represent you in the halls of Congress. And now what you can do to continue with this is to call your congressperson, call the senators, and say, we support the Department of Peace, or please support the Department of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on the website, which is thepeacealliance.org, and find out if your representative is already a co-sponsor.
Okay, and say that again. It's thepeacealliance.org.
Thepeacealliance.org.
Okay.
And if they are a sponsor, call them and thank them. That's as important as calling somebody who's not a co-sponsor yet.
Right, the attitude of gratitude.
We have to send gratitude. Gratitude is one of the most important tools in anything.
Right.
In co-creation.
It creates more of it.
and this is really about co-creation.
Yeah.
This is not the peace movement of the 60s. This is not anti-government, anti-establishment. We are trained lobbyists lobbying for peace. We are here to co-create with the government,
mm-hmm.
to co-create with our representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from that place of peace, of gratitude, of reverence for those that are potentially there to join with this legacy of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to actually get to know your congressperson, get to know your senators.
Mm-hmm.
Go to their sites, read about what they're about, and get connected. Get connected with your own government.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step, because one of the things that I've noticed with this campaign is that it's touched a lot of people that were not involved in government before, that maybe supported different causes in their consciousness, but hadn't actually gotten involved in lobbying.
Right.
And this bill really spoke to me, which is why I got involved, and my first experience with lobbying Congress was with the Department of Peace. Most of the people that came out to this conference, it was their first time as well. And there was a lot to learn about this whole process. But this campaign is very well informed. It's very practical. It is very, it's very inspired.
Now, let me
it's very inspired by the peace consciousness, because we're not just lobbying a bill and saying we support this. We're going in there and actually representing the peace consciousness that we are lobbying for. And that's what I think is really unique about this.
Right.
I wanted to read a little quote here that kind of speaks about this.
Okay, go ahead.
From Thomas Jefferson. It says, I am not an advocate for the frequent changes in laws and constitutions, but laws and institutions must go hand in hand with the progress of the human mind. As that becomes more developed, more enlightened, as new discoveries are made, new truths discovered, and manners and opinions changed, with the change of circumstances, institutions must also advance to keep pace with the times. We might as well require a man to wear still the coat which fitted him when a boy, as civilized society to remain ever under the regimen of their barbarous ancestors. And I think that speaks directly to what this campaign is about. We have evolved in our consciousness, and it is time to update the institutions to reflect.
Exactly. 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 And that's just going to be a fantastic thing. And yes, it has to happen. It's going to happen. It is happening. It's happening now.
It is happening. There's incredible momentum now. And so now is really the time to push for it, because this can happen sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
There is a momentum behind this now that I feel like this could even happen within a year if enough people got behind it. And a lot of people have said, oh, well, this will never happen during the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't think like that. And
no.
The people involved in this campaign, the youth involved in this campaign, we just can't think like that. There's too much at stake. We can't just sit around and wait for a president to come along that is going to support this. We have been challenged to stand up and to take action and to actually become the self-governing society that we were meant to be and that our Constitution gives us the right to be.
And then we can be an example to the rest of the world that can follow suit.
Exactly. This is the kind of example we need to be setting for other nations, not going in and trying to create their governments to be like ours.
Right.
But to actually demonstrate that our way of government can work from the inside.
Tell me a little bit, Michael, about you had mentioned in something you'd written about Jeshua's words on the original 13 colonies. And a little thing I read, you had said, he says there's a link between two time periods, yet in truth, he says that there was a link between two time periods now and then, which I totally related to. And what I wanted to add to that is, in truth, all really is now. And so I thought I would throw that at you and ask you what your feelings and thoughts were about that.
Well, I feel that the crisis that occurred with the original 13 colonies in the United States and the Revolutionary War was a very similar situation to the crisis that we're in now. And there are parallels between those two time periods that I find are very interesting, because the founders of our nation, the framers of the Constitution, when they came together, they believed that a self-governing society and the ideals of liberty and democracy and equality would become so powerful and be represented so powerfully by this new form of government that it would change the world, that other people would join with this declaration throughout the world and begin to move beyond the kinds of monarchies and dictatorships that had ruled the world for some time.
Right, at that time.
And they believed that what they were doing by creating this new form of government and declaring this new set of inalienable rights, that this would lead towards a world where there would be no war, where war would be abolished, and that the idea of equality would become so powerful that it would create a society where we are all equals. There are no rulers in that kind of system of reality. And that's kind of where we're at now. We're in a similar place where we're realizing that with all of these nations and people and groups all having weapons, we all have the ability to kill each other, to destroy each other. It's more important now for us to establish human unity and deal with conflict and violence by addressing the root causes instead of waiting for it to erupt and trying to contain it.
Well, I just had a little thought come into my mind, too,
mm-hmm.
kind of like a little vision as you were talking. You know, the original, when the 13 called, the link between the two time periods we're just talking about, we can kind of look at it as that at that time, the seed was planted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it kind of germinated and it went along its own little path, but the seed was planted then. And I'm kind of relating it to when Jeshua, Jesus Christ Consciousness, when he was here, the seed was planted then. And it looks like a lot of the seeds that have been planted are now
coming to fruition. They've been growing throughout history.
That's right. And they've kind of taken their own little twists and turns. Well, but now is the time when the grit is here and on the seeds of our planet, and it's time now for us to see the results of the growing of the seed and be the ones that bring it into fruition. I believe that's what all of us are here to do now. The seeds have been planted, and it's time for us to water them and nurture them and bring them alive. And that's kind of what this is doing, and I think it's a wonderful thing.
Well, the Constitution was not a complete document from the beginning. It's gone through changes and evolutions. We've added amendments to it. And the idea of liberty and equality was not complete at that time either. We still had not abolished slavery. Women did not have the right to vote. It took time for history to actually come into the full manifestation of those ideas.
Right.
It took time for history to claim the highest level, the highest aspects of those original ideals. And we are still in that process.
Mm-hmm. We are. I'm going to, not to interrupt you, Mike, I'm going to give out the call-in number just in case anybody wants to call in and ask a question while Michael's here. You can feel free to. That number, toll-free for USA, is area code 877-876-5227. Once again, it's 877-876-5227. And international direct number, I believe this is the right number, 530 area code 876-3222. So if anybody would like to call in and ask any questions, feel free to. We're going to continue on with the show. But if any of you would like to call in and ask any questions, you know, go ahead. We would love that. Another thing I was going to talk about again, too, was how being the peace inward brings about the peace outward.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that you would like to bring into that into those words right now that can help. And for people that are maybe new to some of this that don't really truly understand what we're saying, because when I first heard this a few years ago, I didn't realize to have peace on the outer world, we need to be the presence of peace in our inner world and to know peace, which in that peace is truly knowing that everything is divine and every moment is absolutely not an accident. And so if you want to take that somewhere, you go ahead, Michael.
Well, I think the idea of peace consciousness kind of acknowledges that we're dealing with something that's larger than our own minds. Not just that peace is a universal force, but that there is a presence of peace consciousness on the planet, and that those of us who are having the experience of peace consciousness or who are being affected by it are participants in it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't belong to any of us. I feel that I personally witnessed many different stages in the birth of this peace consciousness.
Well, tell us a little about that.
Well, one of the things that I witnessed was when 9/11 occurred, there were millions and millions of people throughout the world that were praying and calling for peace.
Mm.
And I feel that that had an effect, that a lot of us chose to open up and listen to that, or maybe we felt it either subtly or intuitively, some of us consciously, and we felt that a prayer for peace is the same no matter who is praying it. There were people all over the world from all different backgrounds, all different cultures, and there were demonstrations and acts of goodwill
mm-hmm.
towards all human beings that were reflected during that time. I was personally overseas when this happened, so I got to travel around to different countries, and it was interesting because I didn't speak any of the languages.
Right.
I was traveling by myself most of the time, and I witnessed people marching through the streets holding candles and praying for mm-hmm. peace.
Many seeds of compassion were
yes.
planted from 9/11.
People were laying flowers in front of U.S. embassies,
mm-hmm.
Writing cards and coming together and holding prayers and creating posters for peace. All of this was happening in the world, and I kind of wondered how much the American public got to see this, because I really don't know what people saw. I wasn't in the country.
Right.
What I saw was this amazing spirit of hope and peace and goodwill in the world. And I feel that so many of us were touched by that, and somehow, it almost feels like a miracle, but somehow within the space of that time frame and the days, weeks, months after that event, there were a certain number of people in the world that came to a whole new place, a whole new relationship to the world.
It was the wake-up call.
Peace. It was the wake-up call.
Definitely the wake-up call.
And there was an agreement that was formed in our hearts, the hearts of millions of people throughout the world, to choose peace, to claim that peace for the world, to represent that peace for the world, and to also assist each other, to balance each other out of the world of conflict, and to be a force of peace in each other's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel that there was a point where there was a peace consciousness that was born, and it became easier to transcend conflict. It became easier to identify when you were going into conflict mode and projecting conflict energy on the world, because there was this presence of all of those in the world who had agreed to help each other evolve out of that. And that presence informs you, it guides you, it heals you, it helps you to see beyond war and beyond conflict on any level.
Well,
so that's the kind of, that's my experience of peace consciousness, is that there's always this sort of resource, this potential of peace that's hanging in the air that we can tap into by choosing it and by including that as a possibility in all situations.
Well, I can tell from my experience, I would like to share. I know it was probably around 3 years ago when the depths of this transformational experience I've had really got a jump start because of an event in my life. And I kept hearing in my inner voice, choose peace, choose peace, choose peace. And so at that time in my life, there was a lot of chaos in all areas of my life.
When was this?
This was about 3 years ago. And so my literal outside world was chaos. And I was not a happy camper, to say, at all. And I just kept hearing, choose peace, Denise, choose peace. Well, and then I heard choose peace in every moment. And so as I started to realize I truly created my own reality, that I'm the creator, co-creator with the one within me, every moment that something would come up, I would look at it as the observer of the event, not as Denise involved in the event, but stood back as the observer and looked at it and went, isn't this interesting what I've created here? I choose peace. And every time I said, I choose peace, I got to see how I had was creating my own world, how I was creating it by not choosing peace. In other words, I got to see how I truly, within the depths of my subconscious, had created these outer things because I didn't have peace within me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally shown how I was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so over this three-year period, with any conflict that came up, I would go within and I would ask within and say, how can I choose peace in this moment? And those answers would come to me, and it was literally undoing the reality I had created. And I can say to you honestly and from the depths of my heart that my life now, 99% of the time, is totally peaceful. And when it's not, I immediately see how I created it. And usually, it's really and truly most of the time from a lack of self-love,
mm-hmm.
a lack of not honoring myself. And well, since we're all one, when we take this out into the what I call the, I call it the illusion, I know many people may not agree with me, but to me, everything that's out here in the 3D world that's not love, that expresses fear, is an illusion, but it's something we have to walk through to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we take this out into our outer world more and more, that we're going to see the same thing that happened in my own world. It will just come into our reality the more and more we choose for it. It has to, because we're the co-creators.
It's interesting that you mentioned the choose peace thing, because it was actually around the first anniversary of 9/11 that there was a global peace meditation for that event.
Uh-huh.
And I started hearing the choose peace.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It felt like humanity was, at least those that were already in the peace consciousness, were starting to broadcast that and invite other people to choose peace and to discover the peace consciousness, discover that there was this sort of bubble of peace that you could expand into and
right.
receive from. And that's when I started my own campaign, which was Choose Peace Now. And I started getting people to, in their meditations, to begin by choosing peace within themselves, and then to extend that invitation out to humanity mm-hmm. and to ask humanity to choose peace.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The idea was to have thousands and thousands of people out there broadcasting this invitation telepathically and empathically with their hearts, saying, choose peace, choose peace.
And you see, the truth is, too, Michael, our energy fields are so grand. They are so much grander than we could ever imagine. We really have no idea, because we're literally energy. And so as we become the energy of peace in our energy field, and we have truly no idea how far out we extend that wherever we go, way, way, way out around us. When you have that within yourself and you take that onto the world, those vibrations of peace that you carry are touching all the souls that you come in touch with.
Well, I think that people who are working with peace consciousness are working with the idea or the insight or the awareness even that we have to be responsible for our energy on a global scale. And so you sort of make the assumption that the energy that you put out does affect the entire planet, that it resonates along lines of force that impact every single human being. And it's like you sort of ask yourself, how would I treat every person in the world if they were standing right here in the room as one group? And my personal attitude or mood was having an effect on the whole world. And that's how close we really all are, but we're not used to seeing it that way because we're so spread out. But when you start to think from that level of consciousness and that level of responsibility, you have to choose peace.
Well, and what Jeshua taught me, which is, you know, my teacher, my master teacher within me, that came within me, and it's, you know, everyone has their own inner teacher. What he showed me was that we are all one mind, appearing separate here. And when you really take that within yourself and realize what that truly means, we are one mind appearing separate. We are individual, yet we are of the one mind. And so anything that all of our thoughts affect that one mind every moment. So we think we are alone by ourselves or when we're thinking peace or being peace, but in truth, every moment that we choose peace, we're affecting the whole of the one mind. And that is an amazing thought in itself.
Yeah.
And so what wonderful things can come from what you're doing here, Michael. I think it's just fantastic. I wanted to take a moment, too, I was going to ask you something about your own personal work you've been doing. But before I do, I wanted to ask one more time, so anybody who's listening can know. I know you said people can go to peacealliance.org, and they can find out if their congressmen or senators are involved in this. But what about people that want to do what you're doing, that want to get involved in it from the place of where you are?
Well, I'm glad you're asking that, because there's really a lot that people can do. The first thing that I would suggest is to go to thepeacealliance.org, that's thepeacealliance.org,
mm-hmm.
and find out who your district team leader is, because we have team leaders for a lot of the districts in the United States. There's still some that we don't have covered. If there isn't one for your district, then you might consider becoming a district team leader.
Okay.
California, I think, is pretty well covered, but go ahead and check. And whoever it is, get in touch with them. Get signed up on the email list, both for your district and for the national campaign. Get informed about the bill. This is what I would suggest to people if they're only just now hearing about it, is to actually go onto the website and read the bill or read the main pieces of the bill and find out what this is about, because I can almost guarantee you that there's some part of this that's going to resonate with you. There's some part of it, whether it's reducing violence in schools or rehabilitating the prison population or peace building in communities or the U.S. Peace Academy.
So many things.
Whatever it is, this bill impacts everybody, and it's going to create a whole new future, a whole new paradigm for humanity.
When is your next conference, Michael?
We have not set a date yet for the next conference. There are going to be regional conferences. We had one in both Southern California and Northern California this last year. So there are going to be regional conferences that take place. There are different conferences that relate to different aspects of it. But this was our sort of annual national conference. We will have another one. I'm hoping that the momentum builds so quickly that we don't even wait a year for the next one, that we actually need to go and do another one, say, in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? I'm just hoping that the momentum really takes off. So there's a lot that people can do. The first thing, of course, is learning about the campaign, getting in contact with somebody in your area, calling the senator's representatives and voicing your opinion about the bill. And there are a lot of initiatives to reach out to media, to reach out to organizations. Just talking to people about the Department of Peace legislation to get more people aware of the bill, aware of the possibility of what we can create with it. So I would say start emailing people. Start at the very least, send out the link to the website to your friends.
Right.
And say, hey, take a look at this. Tell me what you think.
Get it going out there. Now, you had sent out something today, and I don't know what I did with it right now, but something about YouTube that you're going to do?
Yeah, well, the YouTube thing was interesting because I felt guided to bring a digital video camera to the conference and to film commentary and interviews with the participants because I knew that historically, looking back, the humanity of the future would have a lot of footage of, say, the main presenters that were there that were being filmed at the conference, but we wouldn't have so much footage of the actual citizens who came together to make this piece of legislation a reality. And I wanted to sort of create a video record of who were these legendary people who came together, because I kind of look at these people on the same level as the founders of the Constitution.
Right.
To me, I feel like I'm walking with the legends and the heroes of history being involved in this campaign and just feeling their spirit and the presence of a whole new paradigm that's just crystallizing around us as we walk the halls of government and bring these kinds of new ideas into the halls of government. So I started out with that intention in mind, and then I realized just the power of this human witness testimony, and I started collecting footage to put on YouTube. So I've got probably about 30 different interviews or commentaries. A few of them are video reports that I did as well about my experience at the conference. And the idea was to connect people with the face and the voice of this campaign. I especially felt drawn to the students, to the younger generation, because they had such a passion
right.
for what they're doing. And one of the people I talked with was Aaron Baldwin. He's the director of the Student Peace Alliance. He's 19 years old. I did a couple of really nice interviews with him on YouTube. And he said something that really touched me. He said that working with this campaign was a fulfillment of his humanity. And I thought, wow, that's how these young people really feel about this.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That's
it's truly amazing. And so, and then some of the youth speakers, I mean, there were 17-year-olds. There was a 13-year-old that I interviewed, and this 13-year-old named Will was so clear in his speaking and so excited about lobbying Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And to see young people excited about being involved in government, it excites me, and I really wanted to show that to the world and especially the other students out there. Because I thought, you know, somehow maybe one or two of these interviews might wind up in a government class in some high school.
Yeah, more than likely. So now, we have a few minutes left here. I wanted to talk a little bit about your other work that you do, which is your readings, and give us maybe a little background on that and anything that you would like to share about that. Go ahead.
Well, my personal website is choosepeacenow.net, and I am a writer. I do write updates and sometimes inspired messages about the emergence of a culture of peace. So I sort of have been keeping track of, you know, what's happening and adding insights to this blog. And I also do readings. It's something that I started doing just recently, partly because I was really urged by spirit. I felt really called and guided to begin doing this for people. I'd just been doing it for friends off and on for some time. And I finally was guided to quit my job and just start doing readings, which was going to give me more free time to work on the peace campaign.
Exactly, and that wasn't a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So
that was a gift.
It's really hard to promote yourself, and I wouldn't want anyone to work with me unless they feel really guided from within.
Right.
So I don't feel a need to really self-promote. However, if you go on my website, you can read some of the testimonials from people that have experienced the phone sessions that I do. They're about an hour and a half long. These are intuitive, guided readings. They are also healing sessions, energy work, that supports a person. I call it healing support because we really heal ourselves.
That's right.
And so I provide healing support. I provide guidance. And I help to connect people with their inner guidance.
Right, which is the real true work of a healer is to get people to go within for their guidance.
Yeah, so I really enjoy doing it. I've been doing sessions for people all over the world. Germany, Israel, Australia, England, Mexico, and I do travel and do this occasionally for groups or anytime somebody's willing to organize to have me come out and do readings, I'll do group readings and for individuals as well. And I just love doing it. I feel it's really great to help people to heal themselves and to feel empowered and to find a direction. I actually call these soul path readings.
Ah, I like that.
Because it's about getting to know who you are as a soul and your soul's path. I'm very good at helping people work through issues psychologically, especially trauma, things from early childhood, and as it relates to the soul, past lives, memories that need to be released or healed or need a different approach.
Well, right now that's what we're truly doing, because once I realize that everything is really now, there really is no all past, future is now. It's all in the now. We just can't see it that way with our linear reality here. And once I truly, truly became aware of that and saw it in my own life, what I realized is when the past comes up for us into our present, into our now, if it's a beautiful, wonderful feeling from the past, that's great. Honor it. Enjoy the feeling. If it comes in and it's a painful or hurtful, or if there's any kind of a tug at your heart, then it's there to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we can go within and ask for the guidance, and then we can transform. This is how I change my world, by doing that work. And no matter what it is, small or big, really doesn't matter. You know when your heart, your inner heart, hurts or you have that inner pain, which, you know, I used to walk around and ignore. Then you go within and you can heal it within. And the freedom and the feeling of lightness that comes from doing that, you know, in the beginning, none of us want to really truly feel our feelings that are not good feelings. You know, we want to resist them. But what I've learned is what I resist persists. And so if I don't resist it and I go within and I take it within and I do the inner work, which is what my new book actually is about. It's going to be out pretty soon. We'll be talking about it a lot on my radio show. But to do that inner healing work, which we can really only do within ourselves, we can be guided from the outside, then we get to experience what I call enlightenment. And enlightenment is when you're free of all those things.
So much of the healing process is about letting go of attachment, letting go of what we're holding on to. And even when people know that, they know they're attached, often what people need is the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know they're attached or they're having trouble letting go of something, but it's a lack of wisdom that creates you to keep holding on, because you don't see the wisdom in letting go.
Right.
And that's what I like to help bring through, is the wisdom of a person's soul, mm-hmm. the wisdom of their soul's learning, their soul's path, of why they chose the things that they chose.
Right, and then, of course, your higher self will come in and show you why, how, because everything has a purpose,
mm-hmm.
and then how to release it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned now from all this inner work I've done is that as we release these things, as we release the emotional pain, which means allow yourself to really release it, emotion is what keeps us attached to the form. So if we can release through the emotion, it releases the energy of the whole process, the whole whatever the situation is that's brought it to you. And I never truly understood that until I started to do this work. In other words, don't resist your feelings, good or bad. Feel them, allow them, and then release them. And in the releasing of it brings the miracle. And it's been very exciting for me. It's been a very long process, and I'm going to be really happy to be sharing it on my show and getting the book out, because it truly is what enlightenment is. And the more of us that do this work and that go within and heal ourselves, we're healing the one mind, we're healing the planet, and the miracles will be abound everywhere.
And when you heal yourself, you're really healing the whole world.
And that's right. And we haven't been brought up to know this. We never learned this from our churches or our parents. I mean, no one knew this. But now that we have the knowledge, and it's just knowledge, it's remembering who we are. And we remember who we are, that we're divine beings. We are God in form, in body, here to extend love out into the world. And when you get rid of all the stuff inside, you become a clear vehicle to extend that love out into the world. And that's our purpose.
Well, I would love for people listening to have the opportunity to see some of the interviews that I put on the Internet, on YouTube, because it reflects what people look like who have purpose, who have a cause, who are following their passion or inspiration and really doing something that's greater than themselves. And that is one of the most healing things I think we can do, is to really find our passion and find our cause and really represent something greater.
Right.
Because that really brings the soul into focus and brings out our creative energy. To do something that is not just for ourselves, but for the benefit of others, for the benefit of future generations. And that's what I found in this campaign. That's what so many others have found in this campaign. And we really want to invite people to become a part of the legacy of peace and to do something and to be able to share the joy of what it is we're creating, so that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, even 50 years from now, if you're still alive, you can tell your children, your grandchildren, maybe even your great-grandchildren, mm-hmm. I was a part of this.
Right.
I helped to establish the new peace government.
It's so exciting, Michael. I'm so excited.
Give birth to a whole new paradigm of human unity.
Exactly.
So we want people to be a part of that.
Well, listen, I want to, we're getting close on time. I just want to say first of all, it went by so fast. And I'm so glad you came on. I would love it if the next time after you go to another conference, or if there's some exciting news, to let me know, and we can bring you back on the show. I want to tell everybody, remember, once again, it's thepeacealliance.org, and Michael's website is choosepeacenow. Is it .org, Michael?
It's .net.
.net, okay, choosepeacenow.net.
And that's where you can go to find the footage. There's a couple of pieces of the footage on there, and there's also links to the rest of it, which is on YouTube.
Okay, and then also I wanted to share with all of you that it was actually, I'm a writer, and if many of you listening tonight you read my writings on the News Trader there on BBS Radio. And Michael's writings is what first attracted me to him. I had read a few of them before I saw your the paradigm shift. And so I was already attracted to it, resonated with it. So when I saw this, that's why I reached out and sent you an email inviting you on the show. So if anybody would like to visit his website, are some of your writings on there, Michael?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm going to be putting a lot more on there.
And so for those of you that may not be interested right now in the peace, campaign, I want to tell you that his writings, and I'm sure his readings, are going to be of value also. So there's a little bit of something for everybody there. And, Michael, I just want to thank you so much for coming on, getting to talk about this and spread some of the seeds out there into the world.
Thank you for having me. It's really a joy for me to spread the good news about what's happening.
Well, and it's time for good news. Time for good news.
Yes.
There's no doubt about
it. This is the most positive news that I have witnessed, and that's why I'm there, still witnessing it and now reporting it.
Yeah.
Because this is what is going to inspire hope and let people know that hope hasn't been lost.
That's right.
I meet people all the time, and they feel like they've lost hope for the world, the direction the world is going in. And then I tell them about these kinds of amazing things going on, like the Department of Peace campaign, mm-hmm. and they say, thank you, thank you.
Well, you know, our media keeps us, you know, so much into the fear and drama and all that. And the truth is, we are being so blasted on our planet by these solar flares of energy.
Well, you know, the Department of Peace would help to change that, too, because we would be teaching people about becoming more conscious about the way they speak and the way they report the news.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing I did want to say is that as these grand blasts of light are coming into our planet, what light does is when it brings up everything unlike it. So, in truth, what all we're seeing now is the last play out of what's left of, I don't like to use the word dark, but what looks out there in the world to be unlike love. It's coming up for us to see it in its truth, in its reality, so we can transform it. And that, as more and more of this light comes in, it just, like a flashlight in a room, you can see, you know, if you turn on the light and there's the dark. But it goes to it and brings it up to be healed. And that's what we're doing right now. So for all you people out there that are going through what many of us have and you feel like hope is lost and things are dark and all of that, we're just on the bridge home. And all we need to do is go within and choose peace and love and extend it into our own personal worlds, if you're not out there in the world like Michael, because one by one by one we're changing the world. And that's my message for the night. And Michael, thank you so much for being here. And I'd love to have you back on another time.
Thank you.
Okay. And everybody have a good night. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye.
Well, before we close out, I just wanted to again get on your show and thank you, Denise.
Oh, hi, Don.
I absolutely love what you talk about. You know, there's really only two roads, one towards the heart and the other towards fear. And, you know, the media and everything will keep you on at arm's length and keep you uppity and keep you in fear and keep you confused. But you just let it all go, accept it, love it, and leave
it. Allow it. No, we create it.
That's right.
Thought of being separate.
That's
and,
right.
Oh, well, we're changing it.
That's right.
And isn't it a wonderful thing?
Well, I love you. To our listeners, I know we had a pretty hectic day here with two schedules going and a lot of fun, but it was a great day. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to have made it through.
we'll talk about that later. Well, Don, thanks for coming on.
Oh, I love your show. I love what you're talking about.
He's going to be on my show one Sunday in March. I'll talk to him, but I asked him if he would come on.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime,
yeah.
Anytime.
We'll have a great time.
I know we will.
All right. Everybody have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.